Good Merry Christmas morning, everyone. That is if you are one of those that celebrate it. But if you are not one of them, don't worry, you are included in that good morning. Or should we just say good morning for you? This is the Time Machine with Helmut here on Eagle FM, and I'm here until the hour of 10. And as always, I start off from a very current state of things and dive just straight into history because, well, that's my safe space. Every time that things are not going very well for the most part, I just pick a history book and get lost in someone else's mystery. And that is not mine. So it's more fun when you are not the one going through the trouble. You know, we did do the same thing with movies most. You know, when someone is getting punched, is getting their teeth punched out, you know, on TV, you are rooting for the guy who's winning and laughing at the guy that's losing. But if you were on the receiving end of all those punches, you wouldn't celebrate it that well. But anyway, speaking of celebration, again, Merry Christmas and thank you for tuning in. If you just tuned in, and welcome to Eagle FM. I'm here until the hour of 10. So just one thing to, one thing to keep pointing out, festive season, guys, a lot of activities and actions of consequences. You don't have to pick consequences. All you just have to do, you don't have to pick wrong consequences. All you just have to do is pick the wrong actions, and the wrong consequences will come by default of those wrong actions. So just think twice. Think twice. Now, we are blessed with a lot of rain this year from the look of things. And like they say, if you're going to pray for rain, also get ready for mud. And we are receiving a lot of mud, especially in the northern regions. There are reports of floods coming out of mostly the northern areas. And some parts of the country, roads are being blocked because of the heavy rain. So it's a blessing. There are pros and cons to everything, people. There are pros and cons to everything. So we prayed for rain, and God or chance or destiny, whatever you believe in, was like, okay, you know what? Sure, you want the rain? Here you have it. So now we're receiving a whole lot of it. And also a very big congratulations to former member of the parliament, Jeffrey Mwilima, who was released from prison. Okay, first Christmas in front of the bus, not behind bus. For a very long time. So, congratulations, buddy. Okay, now that he's 70, we shouldn't be saying buddy, you know, especially if you're an African. Because if my parents heard that, they'll be like, oh yeah, come here. You know these things. We raised you well. It seems to me like you forgot all those, spanking is a Western word. In Africa, like Trevor Noah said, in Africa we beat. We don't spank. 10 of the best. We beat. Till someone came up and, you know, came and say, no, that's a child abuse. In Africa, we beat. Eish. You know, that's why, every time I watch a lot of these Western movies I listen to how the kid is responding to the parents, I can come into this house whenever I want. I go, ha! Hey! Yo! Please, Jimmy, don't break the TV, please! And Jimmy is just smashing the TV. And the father also shows up and is like, please, Jimmy, don't do that. Jimmy, put the hammer down. Okay? Hey, And Jimmy is just breaking that flat screen. I'm like, yo! You know what? Just borrow Jimmy to my dad for 5 minutes. He won't survive an hour, believe me. Just borrow Jimmy to my father for 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. When Jimmy will come back to your family, hey, Jimmy will be the most law-abiding citizen in the country. You know what, sweetheart? You shouldn't be doing that. Hey,
Africa is not for beginners. You see, African parents from very early on in your life will tell you that, African parents are inspired by life. You see, life has two ways of teaching people, the theoretical way and the practical way. The theoretical way is where you are told theory by your parents that, you know what, don't do this, don't do that, because it has this and this and this and that consequences. And if you don't follow those instructions, life will take the practical lessons in its own hands now. And life is brutal. Life is brutal. Please, please, don't go out there and sleep around, because you'll fall pregnant. And you're like, no, my parents just ate me. I'm old enough to make my own decision. Mind you, that idiot just turned 16. I'm old enough to make my own decisions. Okay, they go around there and they do something dumb. Then all of a sudden, bam, pregnant. Okay, congratulations. Now, first of all, that's when you're going to understand that there's a reason why you should first grow up before starting to deal with things like pregnancy. Because I'm told it's a nightmare for even elders. Husbands complain. The guy is not pregnant. The wife is. He's complaining. That's how hard it is. And then you now have to show up in a hospital and start to deal with labor at the age of 16. I'm told it's not something you want to deal with at that age. Thank heavens I'm a guy, I won't have to find out. At least not directly. Indirectly, I'm bound to find out.
May the Lord have mercy on my soul.
Now, anyway, from there you start have to deal with, with pampers and sleepless nights of that human being crying. We all went through that. So, which is why you should respect mothers, people. You should respect mothers. It doesn't matter if you have a PhD or not. At some point, someone cleaned that behind, otherwise you would not be alive. So, it's a very humbling experience to think about your childhood. You may be speaking verbosity now, but you see that mother that you are looking at? That person had to spend sleepless nights cleaning your yongo because your behind couldn't breathe properly. Very humbling experience. And also, at some point, you didn't have teeth, by the way. Yeah. That mouth, that has 32 teeth. Assuming you didn't lose some of them in some unsanctioned boxing match. Sponsored indirectly by Nami Breweries. Still, congratulations. Mothers. And also, don't forget to thank fathers for that, 2 minutes that led to that poor mother's headache.
It's Christmas. Helmut, behave. It's Christmas.
Okay, moving on. So, nothing changed. Nothing changed. It's just the time machine where we use history to prove a point. And today's point is, why are modern holidays very confusing? Pardon me. Why are modern holidays this confusing? Because you look at modern holidays, especially those ones that are coming out of the Christian world, because I'm more familiar with those ones than holidays coming out of those ones coming out of other religions. So, let me give you an example. Have you ever looked at one or two or three holidays and couldn't help but think like, you are looking at the rituals being practiced in this holiday and you can't help but think, really? How does this match? Where does this holiday and this ritual, how do they fit in? Well, it turns out it's not rocket science. All you just have to do is keep bringing people of different, actually it's time and people coming together. It's not very different from languages I've come to learn. Your languages are a mishmash of a lot of words from a lot of different languages. Take English, the one that we speak, for example, thanks to Queen Elizabeth's country. English is not one singular language. Actually, no language is one singular language. English is a mishmash of German, Latin, Greek, French, among others. Like the English that we speak is a combination. There are a lot of different languages that contributed to the English language. German being one of them, French being one of them, Greek being one of them, Latin being one of them, especially German. And because it said that the further back you'd go, if you were to hop in a time machine, thank you very much, if you were to hop in a time machine with yours truly here, and traveled to, take for example, the 1100, okay, 1611, that's where, okay, the King James, take Christians for example, the King James version that we a lot of us don't like reading because the language, the English is just not very Englishy. The King James version came into the, published in 1611. And the language is, the English is that complicated. What art thou? I mean, like, what the heck now? So, that means if you were to transport those of us that think we know how to speak English to the year 1611, would have a problem understanding the English language. Because, if you want to see, like, how much the English language have evolved and basically changed from what it was to what it is now, just take the King James Version Bible. And you'll understand just how much of it have changed. Compare that with your other versions like the NIV, your English Standard Version, or your Jehovah's Witness Bible, for example. You will see just how much of the English language have changed. That's true of all the languages. Take your language that you speak, your dialect. If you were to go back 500 years, you would have a problem understanding your ancestors. I mean, most of us have a problem understanding our grandmothers that are still alive now. What are you saying, grandma? For most of us, grandparents speak in vocabularies. We don't understand the thing they're saying until they break it down. Not just the words that they use, but the expressions and the idioms that they use is very archaic compared to the language that we speak, not just the English language. So holidays are pretty much the same. Not only going back a little bit to languages, not only have languages evolved, but they've also taken in a lot of words from a lot of different languages with time, from what it was 500 years ago to what it is now. How are you doing? Even that we have changed to how you're doing, or simply what's up. And if you look at the informal greeting like WhatsApp, for example, has its inspiration from Haiti, I believe, from the formal greeting in parts of Haiti that go something like Sapase, that would be like you greeting, and the one you're greeting would respond with a most commonly respond you get from Sapase is Nabule. Now, Sapase Nabule, basically that form of greeting. Contributed significantly to the modern WhatsApp type of greeting that we use today, which is more often confused as an English greeting. But if you look at where the inspiration is coming from, it's coming from all the way from Haiti. Now, that's true of all languages when it comes to not only do languages evolve, they also in their evolution, they take on a lot of foreign words that become part of that language. A language that's very easy, once you just get the basics of that language, it's very easy to spot foreign words. It's Russian. Because the pronunciation and mostly the spellings. Once you master the Russian alphabets, you can easily tell which word in the Russian language is from the English language. Like the word gene, for example, it's pronounced slightly different, but if you know the alphabets, you can tell, oh no, come on, that's just gene, as in your trouser gene. And you have a secretary, where it's like administration. It's very long when it's written in the Russian language, and the alphabet will scare the Moses out of you, but it's just, once you translate the alphabets into English, then you see that, okay, so it's just administration. So it's just secretary. It's just manager. It's just manager. But once you change it into Cyrillic alphabet, it looks scary. But when you translate those Cyrillic alphabets to simple English Roman alphabets, you go like, really? That's what it means? It's actually nicer than that. Now, anyway. Holidays, the same way that languages evolve and take on a lot of foreign words as they, you know, with time, and also change in pronunciation, you know, in certain words. Holidays, the same thing happens to holidays. When you look at Christmas, for example, you are looking at this. Christmas is supposed to be what? The celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, at least according to Christians, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you are looking at, what does a reindeer have to do with that? Jesus was born in the Middle East. Reindeers are in the north part where you find snow, not the middle of the desert. I mean, it would actually be nice if reindeers were replaced with camels. That would be nice. Or donkeys. Actually, a donkey would be more appropriate. Appropriate, ça se passe. The French part of TikTok is even more funnier than I thought. There's a video of a woman washing a fish with soap. And she went like, appropriate, ça se passe dans la, and my Nigerian guys went bananas on that lady by simply just going like, appropriate, you are a fool. Appropriate, your brain no proper. The question is, why the heck would you wash a fish with soap? I mean, we want things to be clean, but that's just poisoning yourself. Now, the reindeer, a donkey, would be more appropriate. Because, well, there are stories in the Bible of our Lord and Savior riding on a donkey. But our Lord and Savior riding, Anguena is taking over, I swear. May as well just get a plot in Anguena at this point. We don't have stories in the Bible of Jesus riding a reindeer or a sledge, like the one for Santa Claus. A reindeer and flying sledges being ridden by some old bearded guy called Santa Claus. We don't have that, but it's a very significant part of Christmas. Well, for one, if you are from Africa, you are looking at it from a copy and paste standpoint, so we don't have a lot of contribution to that. The only thing we contribute to Christmas is we decided to add Nami breweries to it. And you can't blame us. We are not the first one to add alcoholic beverages to it. I think, is it the Danish that added on the eggnog? That's not us. So, someone introduced alcohol to it before the holiday got to us, and we're like, well, may as well just throw in Tafel Lager, Tassenberg, just throw in Savannah, Heineken on Christmas. Like, well, what's the point? Are you trying to celebrate or be bored to death? So when you look at not just the sledge and the reindeer, like I said, a donkey would be more appropriate as a symbol of Christmas than a reindeer. If we want to stay on the historical accuracy side of things, that's in reference to the whole holiday being celebrated in honor of the birth of Christ, and also my sister's birthday, and also my girlfriend's birthday. Oh dear, and also the pagan holiday, some may debate. Now, that pagan part is one that I'm going to focus much on a lot. So part of what I'm going to do today is dive into some of the most common rituals performed in Christmas. Performed on Christmas. And we try to look at where are they coming from, because they are not in the four Gospels that tell of the birth of our Lord and Savior, the birth, life, and death of our Lord and Savior. But here's the thing: with time, a lot of different celebrations from different cultures and religions seeped into the Christmas celebration. For colonial reasons, or just fun as heck adoption reasons, among other things, or maybe just a political influence or religious influence, or just the capitalism influence. Oh, that's a huge part of it. Now, I'm bringing this up because I'm not the only one who looks at modern holidays and go like, what the heck does this have to do with that? Ever looked at, at Easter, for example, but couldn't help but go, okay, we're celebrating the resurrection, right? Easter is the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus. But what does the bunny have to do with that? I mean, it's not like the Bible somewhere tells a story of, our Lord and Savior resurrecting and going like, I'm a little bit hungry. Can I have some food, please? I would like a bunny for, meat and a few eggs that for some reason you have to hunt down to find. Like, where does the bunny and a bunch of eggs fit in the story of salvation? Or some of you don't ask yourself this question. You just celebrate. Okay. Not judging. Who am I kidding? I'm judging. You're supposed to ask questions. Jesus. Oh, you just get drunk and, it's a holiday after all. Now, and it's not just Easter. If I looked at Valentine's Day and couldn't help but think, if this day is dedicated, Valentine's Day is a glorified day dedicated to getting laid. Nothing more, nothing less. I know we like to wrap everything around, chocolates and flowers, and all those things are intended to invoke what? Which emotions? Which emotions? Getting laid emotions. Now, which I don't have a problem with. I don't have a problem. But I do it all the time. The gift part, not the other. Okay, all of it. Leave me alone. Ever looked at Valentine's Day and think that if this is a day that's dedicated to get laid, why is the symbol of this day, why does a symbol of this day involve the picture of a half-dressed toddler with a bow and an arrow? It's giving a lot of Jeffrey Epstein vibes. Like, I really want to celebrate Valentine's Day, but every time I look at Cupid, he's a half-dressed kid. And I'm like, okay, the intentions I have in mind when I'm buying all these chocolates and flowers doesn't really match with that picture. Like, that's very pervy. Very pervy. Turns out. I'm not ruining Valentine's Day for you. I know it's coming up. All I'm saying is, ask myself these questions all the time. And you, as you should do, ask yourself, okay, if Valentine's Day is dedicated to this, what the heck is that doing there? If Easter is dedicated to this, where the heck does that come in? And that is why you have the time machine with helmet. And now the center of today's attention, Christmas. Ever looked at Christmas and couldn't help but go with okay, if we are celebrating the birth of Christ, where does the eggnog come in? Or where does the tafel come in? Or where does the kaspembe come in? Or ombike, if you will. We call it kaspembe. Or kachipembe, or kaspembe. No. Or whatever it is that you... Where does the tombo come in? Oh. Yep. where does the Christmas tree come in? Aren't we supposed to be saving the environment? Huh? Turns out everything has a history. Where does the Christmas carols come in? You know, that song that they sing in a lot of Western countries when they're celebrating Christmas. Oh no, we don't do that here. Here we just do, a possibility of going to pottery. That's about it. Still making plans on what to do the day I run into Tatabuti. Now, where does the mistletoe come in? Well, let's just say, most holidays we celebrate today are made up of a cocktail of rituals from different religions and traditions. And that is what I am here to point out. Let's take a break.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondutu toingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kongerewa, vera hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
and
it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. Let's do a little bit of a history dive now, shall we? When it comes to some of these things, let's start with the Christmas tree. We're supposed to be celebrating, if the Christmas tree was a cross, I would be like, okay, well, homeboy was nailed on the cross after a series of, interruptions to status quo and the powers that be. I think, every time I read the Bible, which I do, I'm a Christian, I find myself laughing because, well, I'm a comedian also. And I can't help but think, what if Jesus was the first activist? And you know that the people in power don't like activists. There's this part in the Bible when he was throwing stuff in the church mosque. You know, the people were doing business, think of it like, it was supposed to be just Passover day, and then they turned it into Kapana, and turns out homeboy didn't like it, and he was throwing the stuff left, right, and center, so it caused a lot of loss in revenue for those business owners. And you can imagine they reported homeboy to the authority, and those guys even used that as an excuse not to pay tax. And the government was like, this guy is ruining our holiday to the Bahamas. They didn't have the Bahamas at the time, I'm pretty sure. So, as an activist that was, standing up for the people, don't ask. And, just to the government. And the government did not like it. They were like, ah, yeah, this guy is bringing this order. Oh, yeah, hand us a hammer and some nails and the rest is history. Well, Christian is praying for me right now. I receive. Amen. So, Christmas tree. Well, a tree, the tree is green. Like, again, Jesus was born in the Middle East. And the crucifixion, as you can imagine, must have taken place in the desert, not in the middle of the forest. Again, where does the tree come in? Well, a tree, an evergreen tree, often pine, spruce, or fir. These are all, can imagine, species of trees you find in Europe, not the Middle East. I just thought it was, you know, worth pointing out. Decorated with lights and ornaments as part of Christmas festivities. Christmas tree can be fresh cut, potted, blah, 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 and then you just not here for that. Straight to the history. The use of evergreen trees and garlands to symbolize eternal life as a custom of ancient Egypt, Chinese, and Hebrew. Egypt is a little bit Middle Eastish, but anyway, tree worship was common among pagan Europeans. Aha! No wonder the species of the trees are from Europe. If the tree was found somewhere in, if it was an olive tree, you totally understand because modern day Israel, Palestine, the geography is somewhat debatable on that one. Which is the still one very heated debate by now. Palestine, but thanks to that British guy called Balfour, now large part of it is Israel. Of course, there will be Britain somewhere involved when it comes to colonialism. Seriously, now that I'm thinking about it, turns out the guy's name is Balfour. Balfour? I have a nickname for him, but you get me fired. So, just moving on. So, a tree worship was common in pagan Europeans and survived their conversion to Christianity in the Scandinavian customs of decorating a house and barn with evergreen at the with evergreen at the New Year to scare away the devil. And of setting up tree, for beds during Christmas time. This is a very white people thing to do. Setting up trees for beds. Set up beds when we find them, we just eat them. Set trees for them, are you? It survived, the custom survived further in the tree further survived the custom as observed in Germany of placing a Yule tree. Now that Yule actually is also name of a holiday that is attributed to the Scandinavian part, especially the parts of Norway. And it's also attributed to be popularized by a bunch of guys called Vikings, which is a bunch of, the elevations of what you'd call Tura boys. And there were different groups, it turns out, and they were very happy to also practice their Tura arts towards each other. If the chance presented itself. So, Vikings were like Tura boys on an industrial scale, and also white, and also very, 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 very old. Olden days. We're talking about, you have to understand, the Vikings are said to have sailed to the modern day United States of America about 100 or more years before Christopher Columbus, who just went there and then took all the credit. So now back to the Yule. Now the Yule tree at the entrance of it survived further in the custom. The tree now, the Christmas tree, survived further in the custom also observed in Germany of placing a Yule tree at the entrance or outside the house during the mid-winter holidays. That's where the snow comes in. December is not winter in southern hemisphere. It's summer. Therefore, snow being associated with Christmas, again, Christmas a holiday that's supposed to celebrate the birthday of a guy that was born in the middle of the desert. Doesn't make sense. Until he realized yes, winter is associated with Christmas because that winter part of Christmas the winter part of Christmas or the Christmas tree part of Christmas seeped into into Christianity. At this point, I have a feeling when Christianity was adopted on a large scale, you have to understand that there was a time in the history of Europe where not being a Christian, especially not being a Catholic, was considered, call it a taboo. You were not liked very much if you were not Catholic, because it was believed that, you know, the big guy upstairs preferred Catholics than, you know, non-Catholics. Even though the Catholics were just running around colonizing everyone in the name of the big guy upstairs. Whether or not he approved, he's still up for debate to this day. That brings us to the modern Christmas tree. Modern Christmas tree, though originated in Western Germany, the main prop of the popular medieval play about Adam and Eve was a paradise tree, a field tree. Again, a tree that you find in Europe, now part of a birthday celebration for a guy that was born in the Middle East. You gotta love holidays. You gotta love holidays. Look, if you just added Tassenberg or Tombo or Mbike to your holiday, don't worry, you're not the first one to add something new or something of your own to Christmas. There have been a lot of things added to that holiday. A lot. Christmas tree being chief among them. Now, moving on. That field tree hung with apples that represented the Garden of Eden, and that's when they started adding on the whole Garden of Eden theme to the tree. But the bottom line is, let's not forget the honor of the birthday we're supposed to be celebrating. Homeboy was born in the middle of the desert. And it turns out now snow is part of his birthday, and I, for one, just can't help but think, really, shouldn't it be sand? Which would make an excellent theme for countries like Namibia, because, I mean, we are sandwiched in between two deserts. I mean, it would make a killing. Turns out, someone brought in snow, and now the birthday theme is not matching with the homeboy's birthday gift. And you know what's more selfish? We give gifts to each other. Not the honor of the birthday is neglected. Merry Christmas, sweetheart. Merry Christmas, my friend. Merry Christmas. No one says happy birthday. It's just Merry Christmas. No one said, like even if you went to church, you're not going to hear the priest say, happy birthday, my lord. Nope. It was on this day when it was, oh, come on. That brings us to December 25. How the heck did... First of all, we use the Julian calendar. Which is a very new calendar. compared to even the old Gregorian calendar. That is the reason why Eastern European countries celebrate Christmas on the 7th of January. Now, how the heck did we come up with 25 December? Ah, well, it's just halfway across time, someone just scratched their head and went like, hey, you know what? We're going to go with 25. Eastern Europe is dominated by Orthodox Christianity. So most of them still use the Gregorian calendar. It has not been adjusted to keep up with the tilt in the astronomical bodies. There's a lot of astronomy that comes with that. I don't even want to confuse myself. So when these whole adjustments were done, I think somewhere in the 1500s. Yeah, the whole, there was a time, is it 1580 something, when they adjusted the calendar and the people, I think 15 days, no, 15 or 10 days were just wiped out of the calendar. People went to bed on the 10th, I'll have to confirm that. Not on the 10th, or, you know, on the 4th. And they woke up the next day, it was the 10th or the 15th, and went like, what the behind is going on here? So the calendar turns out to have to be adjusted to keep up with the tilt in the Earth's, in the Earth's astronomical tilting. That's the best way I can use to describe it. The documentary guy made it sound very easy. Now, candles. Where does the candle come in? Yeah. Candle, a symbol of Christ as a light of the world. Oh, yeah, right, of course. I thought it was going to be the sun, but anyway. Candles, a symbol of Christ as a light of the world, were often added. In the same room was a Christmas pyramid. And a triangle construction of wood that had shelves to hold a Christmas figures that was decorated with evergreen candles and a star. You know, the star that is supposedly the early I think what inspired GPS. You know, the one that gave the three wise men direction to where the Lord was born. Like, these days, just use GPS or just sim. You could just go with Yango. But, before Yango and GPS, they had to rely on the big guy upstairs to provide the only GPS system that was in existence. You have to follow a star and cross your fingers and hope you are doing things right. Oh, dear. So the star, this is the star that you see on top of a Christmas tree. When you see that, just a picture, the three wise men following the star that led them to where our Lord and Savior was born, it turns out that was the early days of GPS. You should really appreciate GPS because it turns out, modern day GPS is in your pocket, is in your phone. The olden day GPS was somewhere up in the sky. And not very nice roads to navigate. So, you. By the 16th century, the Christmas pyramid and the paradise tree, paradise in reference to the Garden of Eden, in a Garden of Eden that's in Genesis chapter 2, paradise tree has merged to become Christmas tree. So you are looking at different rituals here that came together to form Christmas tree. The Christian version being the Garden of Eden tree, which again doesn't match which Garden of Eden you are talking about way in the beginning in creation. And the birth of Christ you are talking about what? You are talking about in AD periods. That's like compared to creation periods, AD 30 something is that's like yesterday, and also you are looking at the fall of man and the birth of Christ, and you are going like, okay, how, where do these two meet? Okay, the fall of man, Jesus came to die for. Okay, well, okay, fine, I get the picture. And then the custom was widespread amongst the German Lutherans by the 18th century, but it was not until the following century, that's the 19th century, if you have lost your math because of Ombike, following a century that Christmas tree became deep rooted in German traditions. You wanna guess who colonized us? Not the South Africans, before the South Africans, you know. Introduction to England in the early 19th century, and the Christmas tree was popularized in the mid 19th century by German-born Prince Albert, a husband of Queen Victoria. You know, the one that gave birth to a bunch of royal guys in Europe. You know, like the genealogy of a lot of royal guys in Europe. Forget boundaries. Forget boundaries. That's one thing I like about rich people. They know each other. And especially when you look at Europe's quote-unquote blue blood or a bunch of royal guys in Europe. Oh, they are related. Yeah. Those guys who were marrying each other's cousins cousins and aunties and uncles for like 200 years. So it's no surprise that they are all related. They did suffer the consequences of, you know, keeping it in the family. Ask the Spanish guy, you know, King Charles, is it Charles the second? The guy who was born with an oversized head and downstairs he just had, instead of having two crown jewels, he only had one, and also it was a black skull. The doctor found that out during his autopsy, before people start thinking I went poking in some royal trousers, which I didn't, believe me. And also, plus also, the guy died like a very long time ago. Even if you find his skeleton, the crown jewels are decomposed way, way back. Assuming they were even decomposable, but who am I to judge? So, the Victorian tree was decorated with toys and small gifts, gift candles, and you have candy and popcorns. Popcorn and Christmas tree, what were these people smoking? Popcorns and fancy cakes hung from branches by ribbons and by paper chains. And this is the tradition that we basically see today with the Christmas tree. As you can see, when you look at it from just a Christmas tree alone, just a Christmas tree alone has a whole long story. And it's also, a Christmas tree alone is a combination of a lot of different, is a coming together, a mishmash, a melting pot of a lot of religions and a lot of traditions and a lot of just the artistic expression, if you can call it that. Boy, oh boy. That, ladies and gentlemen, was just the tree. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Now it's just part of it's more of an aesthetic than anything that has to do with the, like, the central theme of the holiday, that being the birth of our Lord and Savior, so we're told. Right. And, oh yeah, the Smithsonian guys, the guys that, basically run some of the biggest museums on the planet, historical museums, the Smithsonian guys, they're explaining the history of the history of the mistletoe. Actually, that's my favorite. That's my favorite, because the guy who wrote this article is a comedian. Now, the Yuletide, that winter solstice celebration, that also contributed most of its ritual practices to Christmas, the Christmas tree being chief among them, the Yuletide decorations are up. Trimmed trees, jolly stockings, on the mantle, and wait, what's that white buried as in berry, as in like a fruit berry, not like buried as in put that guy 2 meters underground. Yeah. What's that white buried weed hanging? Not again, weed as in unwanted, plants in your field type of weed, not the Bob Marley type, or the Snoop Dogg, or the I want to mention some names here at home, but I don't have bodyguards, so I'll leave that one there. What's that white buried weed hanging from the ceiling? Why are people so amorous when they find themselves beneath it? Why are they all? Why do they get jittery? Why does it get a little awkward when they find themselves standing under a mistletoe? This is a type of plant, a type of weed that is more often hung on the ceilings as part of a Christmas celebration in a lot of countries, especially those ones that are in the West. And the tradition is, if you find yourself standing there, especially if you're a woman, you have to stand there until someone comes, and whether you like it or not, they kiss you. And you have to kiss them back if you don't want your marriage to be cursed, your future marriage, of course, to be cursed forever and ever and ever and ever. That was back then, not now. But anyway, mistletoe, a parasitic plant, it's a weed. That's basically what it tries to point out. A weed plant is actually accustomed to the suspension. AKA it's dangling, in nature. Now, if you know, I don't know how to explain this part though. There's this type of a plant we call utata in my language. That plant never, you find it mostly along the riverbank. If you are not from Mahangwena, along the riverbank, and it does not grow on its own. It's actually a parasitic plant also. Utata is also a parasitic plant in a sense that it has a way of finding itself like being like taking over. It's basically a cancer because it takes over other plants. You'll just see a very healthy big plant, and the next thing you know, you'll just see the branches of that utata tree that I was just talking about branching out from somewhere on top, and then with time it takes over the whole tree. It basically absorbs the whole tree. That's the parasitic part being talked about here. Now, here's the thing. This is the birth of Christ. A mistletoe has to do with a type of weed tree that is parasitic in nature. Was dangling from the ceiling. And the tradition is, if you find yourself standing there, you have to stand there until someone comes to kiss you. Excuse me. What does that have to do with the Lord of with the date of birth of our Lord and Savior again? Well, that means nothing. Now, that means it got there somehow. How did it find itself there? Don't worry. You are listening to The Time Machine on Eagle FM, and I'm here to, with the help of my Smithsonian, very sarcastic homie here, we're going to help you, we're going to walk you through that, but we're going to walk you through that. So, a mistletoe, a parasitic plant, is actually accustomed to the suspension, aka as in dangling, in nature, as it grows only on other tree branches. And it's long associated with mystical power. In Norse, aka Norway, mythology, Norse, as in N-O-R-S-E, not N-O-S-E Norse, no, Norse. In Norse mythology, the god Balder is mistakenly killed by an arrow of mistletoe. Oh boy. After which the plant became synonymous with a grieving mother's undying love. Still doesn't explain the French kissing. Why mistletoe berries the fruit? Because it does have a fruit, but the fruits are poisonous. While the mistletoe berries are poisonous, ancient Romans and Greeks used its leaves medicinally to treat cramps, epilepsy, and ulcer. Don't fall for that. You are talking, this is the time when medicine was so advanced, the only painkiller they had was a belt or a sandal they gave you to bite on while they amputated your leg. So, I wouldn't follow that medical advice if I were you. So, if you are having current issues, I would not recommend any of this. Thank you very much. And anyway, where are we? Even though the berries are poisonous, the ancient Romans, Greeks used its leaves medicinally to treat cramps, epilepsy, and also. And first century Celtic druids apparently used mistletoe to make sacred fertility elixir, fertility. How do I explain fertility elixir? Fertility elixir is there's this word that I'm forgetting. Seriously. Now I need a break to find this word. I swear, because everything is gonna go down the down the drain.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa Eva tere uliko ni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile.
Aha! Fertility elixir is mpesu. You're welcome. Yo, man, I thought it was going to take long. But anyway, shouldn't this be a Valentine's Day conversation? That's the first thing that came in my head. So, that tree that is used as a mistletoe, as part of Christmas celebration, it has two distinct history. Celtic druids, and you have Norse also coming in, but I like the Celtic druid story more, because they used it as sacred fertility elixir, aka they used it as mpesu. Ouch. Now again, that brings us to my question for the day. What the heck does that have to do with the birth of our Lord and Savior? Because last time I checked, a story goes that he was conceived through the Holy Spirit. And, seriously, did the Holy Spirit really need peso? That's how you know that the holiday, that part of the story, found itself in the celebration somehow. Unless you tell me the Holy Spirit needed peso. In which Holy Spirit, I have so many questions. Now, that part of the history of the mistletoe and Christmas, you know, some of these things that we are mixing here, they are not matching at all. Like, this is supposed to be a very churchy type of discussion. It turns out, nope, Peso is involved. Oh dear. I didn't see that one coming either. Now this Mpesu part of this whole mistletoe, thanks to the Celtic druids, if you like Celtic salt like I do, then you know where this whole region is located. Now, fertility elixir use of the mistletoe by Celtic druids is one that led to the tradition of I have to read this part. This is the part where I said that the guy that wrote this article is a comedian. Where was he? First century Celtic druids apparently used mistletoe to make a secret fertility elixir, aka mpesu. One historic use that that gave the plants now dominant identity as an excuse for kissing somebody. The first known reference for smooching, I swear, not making that up. This homeboy is a comedian, I swear. Oh boy. Now, the first known reference for smooching under the plant dates to 1784 English poem in which three men kiss beneath the mistletoe. So my very Christmassy, if you ask me. The lips of a girl not tend of plenty. By then, any woman, now this is where it gets a little bit very diabolical for women if you look at the history of a mistletoe. Ladies, if you appreciate a mistletoe, after this you're not gonna like it very much. By then, any woman or girl who walked, really, girl? Okay. That's disturbing. But just reading history here. This is the Smithsonian, not Helmut, not Eagle FM. And I'm having a good time, don't get me wrong. By then, 1700. By then, and also this is in Europe. By then, any woman or girl who walked beneath this, this vegetable decor, had to stop and wait to be kissed. You don't have to like it. If you just found yourself there, you're gonna have to wait to be kissed. Now, why did they force women to do this thing? Well, because, we brainwashed them into thinking that if they don't, they are going to have bad luck with marriage in the future. You are talking about a time when inheritance and career for women was largely based on marriage. This was in Europe. You know, white men really did not like their white women at this point. I'm telling you. Because, well, black women were commanding armies. This time, they were commanding armies. Turns out, white women were told, stand under that tree and wait for a kiss or your marriage is doomed. You, these guys can lie. I mean, all guys lie. Except me. I don't lie. I just omit the truth. Okay, that's lying. Fine. Okay, I get it. So, by then, any woman or girl who walked beneath this vegetable decoration had to stop and wait for a kiss. One historian suggests that the tradition was thought up by a particularly lusty and inventive British boy. The lusty part and inventive genius, whose trick spread around the country, then the world. One British guy, this is how you should picture this. According to one historian, there was a British, of course there is going to be a British everywhere. According to one historian, the mistletoe's introduction to Christmas and its popularization, the introduction goes way there. Its popularization, especially with regards to if you stand under it, you have to kiss. One historian points out that it may have been invented by a British boy. The use of the word boy, I'm going to assume that's a teenager who is obviously, very high on hormones. Christmas night, lights. So, sees his crush and he decided to use the, now we are standing under a mistletoe, tradition dictates we have to kiss as a pickup line. And now the tradition is stuck. A child started it. Now you have adults kissing underneath the mistletoe. It was a pickup line, guys. Give it a break. Very good one. Believe me. Just believe. When it comes, there by pickup line, I've said worse. I've said worse. worse, believe me, very embarrassingly worse. Quick break.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijabu ili nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumderewa vera hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. The time is 15 minutes to the hour of 9. If you just tuned in, this is the Time Machine with yours truly, Helmut. And today is about Christmas. And I'm just going through a bunch of Christmas rituals and trying to find out where the heck does that, the game we're playing is, what the heck does this have to do with the birth of Jesus? And just laugh. You're not supposed to take things, personal. I'm just here to make fun of things and people. And things, but mostly people. So we started with the Christmas tree, how the white Tura boys that call themselves as Vikings gave us that, and with their Yule celebration, and now we are at the mistletoe. Right, that British boy that used mistletoe as a pickup line, now adults have fallen for all that crap. And it's also now the birth of... found itself in the... as part of Jesus' birthday celebration. So the British boy that used this as a trick and then it spread the whole world. As the American author Washington Irving wrote around 1820, each berry on a spring of a mistletoe had come to represent a kiss that a man was allowed to bestow upon a young woman standing underneath that plant. Oh dear. And the berries are all plucked. Jeez. Yeah.
As for the girl, forget the berries that were plucked. That's just a lot of garbage. As for the girl, now this is my favorite part, which is why I say that made me say, ladies, if you like that whole thing, I wish he kissed me under the mistletoe. Oh, yeah. Well, you may want to listen to where that mistletoe come from. Yeah. For one, we know that, again, Jesus was born in the Middle East. The holiday ritual is coming from Europe. As for the girl on the receiving end of the kiss, the 1700s Europe's social customs dictated that if she found herself standing under a mistletoe, she should stand there until someone came to kiss her. And she dare not refuse. So molestation is part of Christmas celebration. Now it's part of happy birthday, our Lord and Savior. Really? Boy, am I very good at ruining people's Christmas. But hey, it's the Smithsonian, not me. Now, as for the girl, social customs of the time dictated that, if she finds herself standing underneath the mistletoe, she must just stand there until someone come to kiss her. Now, at this point, ladies, you have a lot of questions. What if they didn't brush their teeth? You're not allowed to refuse. What if they have rotten teeth? They have, this is 1700. This is way before toothpaste is something that's very new. Okay. Wow. I did not think of it that way. Anyway. She was not allowed to refuse the kiss underneath the mistletoe. Lest she invite bad luck in the marriage market. Because the marriage market, have you seen the Bridgertons? The TV show. Yeah, that's what marriage market means. Okay. Look, reading history is both a blessing and a curse. Because sometimes it's a, it can get, well, it can give you information that is, somewhat, you know, information you did not need to know. Like a, like a, I didn't want to know that. Like, take for example, the whole, if a lady or a girl, wow, the girl parties, okay, sending chills down my spine. The girl didn't deserve that. The woman, maybe, he just, you know, decided. Here's one thing I just found out, people. Imagine someone with rotten teeth now finding you standing under a mistletoe. Hey! Bad luck of the highest order. Someone who cannot afford a toothbrush at the time. Again, at this point, these poor women, most of them did not have much of a choice. Why? Because it was believed back then everything was attributed to luck. Now everything, most of the things are attributed to science. Back then, it was luck. So, it's bad luck if you don't kiss someone that have not brushed their teeth ever since they were born. It will ruin your luck at the marriage market. Marriage market? That was a thing? Okay, moving on. So that gives us a migration from the mistletoe to the Vikings. Now we come to the Vikings. You know, those European tour boys. Now we just look at the one by one, like some of the, you know, how much they contributed to celebrations. Now, first of all, if you know who the Vikings are, you understand who the Vikings were. These were, for a very long time, I thought it was one group. Turns out they were just different groups of Tura boys, like on a large scale, and also in snow. And very handy with an axe. I think that's where firefighting comes from. Not calling the fire department after this, am I? I'll still call. Give the phone to my neighbor. Just in case you all start saying, you sound familiar. Are you the guy that was making fun of us on Eagle FM? No, not me. So, we are going to get to the religious observation of Christmas. I just want to go through like a bunch of rituals and how they found themselves in the whole Christmas thing. First of all, there's one before we get to the Vikings. Did I mention that Vikings were like Vikings were raiders. I think it's safe to say Vikings inspired pirates. I'm describing them as Tura boys because these guys raided. That's a fancy way of saying they did. Okay, 90% of their survival was based on stealing. But these are the guys that contributed the most to the rituals that are now used in celebration of the birthday of the guy that died so we can be saved. You gotta love religion on this one. Really love it. Really love it. The honor of the birthday says, thou shall not steal. The guys that contributed most of the rituals to his birthday says, oh, we're gonna steal, all right. Oh, no, we're gonna just go. Thou shall go out there and steal and then defeat the enemies. And, every time they defeated the enemies of whatever area they raided, they just got rid of mostly men. And then they took the women, and I'll let you draw the picture of what they did with those women after that. Most of them remained in captivity for a very long time. When I say Tura boy on an industrial scale, I mean exactly that. Those are the guys that inspired the birth of our Lord and Savior's birthday. Oh boy. Capitalism 101. So, the elephant in the room. According to the commonly seen or commonly published picture of Jesus, he had blue eyes and blonde hair. But he was born in the Middle East. Really? Because if you look at the pictures of Jesus that are just all over the internet, and some of them have them in their houses, you can just look at this, you can just look at that picture and you can't help but go, yeah, this guy is from nowhere. Definitely no. Ain't no way this guy is from the Middle East. Now, if he was in the Middle East, then there were two miracles that took place in that story. One, it was a virgin conception. Number two, these two Middle Eastern guys, these two Middle Eastern couple gave birth to the first white person that found themselves in the Middle East and did not need sunscreen. Yeah. There's one comedian that said there's one thing he does not understand about people when they he's a Christian, but he's from one of the Arab countries. And every time he tells people that he's a Christian, they look at him and go like, but you're from the Middle East. How come you're a Christian? Aren't you supposed to be a Muslim? And it's like, actually, there's this Christianity is from there. Christianity is from the Middle East. There's this very famous Christian who is also from the Middle East. I'm pretty sure you have heard of him. His name is Jesus. Nonsense. Now, I still maintain the picture that we ran around with saying that this is Jesus. Ain't no way that's Jesus because, well, I don't think that guy can survive outside without sunscreen. Not with that hair, he can't. That hair is way too blonde for the Middle Eastern sun. And that skin is way too fair. That skin is for snow. Not desert. But hey, don't worry. If you are already finding this annoying, okay, it is my painful duty to inform you that I still have an hour and 2 minutes. And I still have like 3 tabs I haven't opened. So, fasten a seatbelt. Let's look at the history now, shall we? The Vikings. What did the Vikings, white Tura boys, contribute to us? I'm sitting very comfortably. You should see just how comfortable I'm seated here. Very, 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 very comfortably. Primarily marked on the 25th of December to commemorate the birth of Jesus Christ, Christmas is a time of the year celebrated by billions of people around the world. Really? Most of us are not celebrating Christmas. Most of us are just getting drunk because, well, it's our time off from work. But sure, let's use Christmas as a cover. Also, that's an excellent thing. We are doing that under the guise of Christmas. The festive is accompanied by several traditions that, unbeknownst to many, have pagan origins. We have already started with this. Again, that's not me. Long before Christianity had come to the Nordic, the parts of Norway, Nordic, Norse, think Norway, the Nordic, the pagan Vikings, those ones, you know, when you hear the word pagan, think the equivalent of infidel in Islam. Now, that's where that Afrikaans word, has its origin in kafir, also comes from. You're welcome. Now, the festive accompanied by several traditions that unbeknown to many have pagan origins, aka non-Christian or non-Christian believing origin. When you hear pagan, think non-Christian. Long before Christianity, Christianity had come to the Nordic, origins, pagan Vikings, a bunch of Norwegian Tura boys in Slo and other ancient Germanic people would celebrate winter solstice. Winter solstice. Each December, the time of the year when days were the shortest and nights were the longest. You wanna know when we have, long nights and short days? Somewhere around June, July. That's winter for us. Winter for them is in, at this time of the year, that's winter for them. We have long days in summer. This time of the year, we have long days and short nights. In Northern Hemisphere, it's the opposite. They have, Northern Hemisphere, they have, short days and long nights this time of the year. We have that phenomenon in winter, and our winter is somewhere May, June, July. That's when we have long nights and short days, and the nights are really long, really long. You better have enough condoms. You're gonna run out of condoms, and you'll be like, you know what? I'll just pull out, and that's the story of how you were born. Hey, congratulations. Off you go to school now. Somewhere out there is a kid that's going to be told that story, unfortunately. Just saying it as a joke. For some reason, I'm already picturing two couples laughing because they're about to, moving on. Now, long before Christianity had become a Nordic regions, the pagan Vikings and other ancient Germanic people would celebrate the winter solstice each day, each December, the time of the year when the day were the shortest and the nights were the longest. Friends and relatives would get together and enjoy food, drinks in festive known as Yule. As Christianity swept across the Germanic Europe centuries ago, many Yuletide traditions from that Yule tradition that was celebrated in December when the days were short and nights were long. A lot of those rituals, many Yuletide tradition rituals were adopted and absorbed into the Christian faith, mixing them to celebrate the modern Christmas we celebrate today. Okay, and I'm just getting started. Here are some of the most common Christmas traditions we have to thank the Vikings for. Way from the beginning of the show, for an hour and 34 minutes, this is the spice I was preparing you for. If you just tuned in, this is Ekule FM, Helmut, Time Machine, blah, blah, blah. Now, moving on. Father Christmas, that guy who is always sneaking into children's bedrooms in the middle of the night. Very Jeffrey Epstein-ish type of vibes. Without their parents' consent. And then giving them gifts that are coming from Father Christmas, but they are written made in China. Kids, I'm about to ruin Christmas for you. You know, when I give someone a gift and they're like, I can tell it's from the heart, I more often tell them, actually, no, it's from Checkers. Which heart? See your life. He put some thought into it. Nah, I was comparing prices. Father Christmas, the Norse god Odin, was said to be the father of all gods. Now, if you have seen the Marvel movies, then you know that Thor's father is Odin. I think that's where we get Wednesday from, Odin's day. And Thursday we have Thursday. Friday is from the, you know, they all have like a Norse. They are all like Norse in origin. You have Thursday where we get the word Thursday, and you have Odin's day. You know, Odin the father, Thor is the son, and Friday is from I think it's from the mother's name that you get the word origin, and the whole party vibe of celebration can also be traced to Norse mythology. Yeah. Mjolnir, the hammer that Thor uses. The one that has my favorite inscription. Whoever shall possess the power of Thor. Whoever shall be worthy. Whoever shall be worthy to lift this hammer shall possess the power of Thor. Sorry, now I'm just thinking about, described as a bearded old man, that Odin guy, described as a bearded old man wearing a hat and a cloak, Odin would often ride his eight-legged horse Sleipnir, forgive my Norwegian, across the midwinter night sky. Well, that explains a lot. Like I said, Jesus was born Middle East, desert. Where do you find snow? Europe. Well, that explains again why snow is more often, and winter is more often associated with what? Christmas Eve. And winter solstice, that was celebrated, winter solstice or Yule. All these are snow winter related traditions coming out of Europe. If you are African and you're asking yourself, how did it get here? Oh, the answer for you and me is very simple. Colonialism. You're welcome. Now, as to how everyone else got it, that's what we're talking about. How you and I got it, the answer to that would not make a 2 hours, 30 minutes show. It would make a 2 seconds show. At least that's longer than... Moving on. Odin and described as a bearded old man wearing a hat and a cloak. And Odin would often ride his eight-legged horse Sleipnir. That's Norwegian. Leave me alone. Oh, it's English. I don't know. across the midwinter night night sky, delivering gifts to those down below. Why does that sound familiar? Because that is now Father Christmas. Although it can be argued that our modern Father Christmas is a fusion of ancient myth, legend, and folklore. Again, I don't see Bible there. Ancient myth, legend, and folklore. The resemblance and connection to the Norse god Odin has many historians believing he was the original Santa Claus. And there was a guy in a Roman Catholic whose name was Saint Nicholas, and then shortened to Santa Claus. So that's also part of the origin of the Santa Claus guy. Quick break.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Nipura nengelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushenjife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom.
Welcome back. So let's dive into this whole ritual things now, shall we? The question is, have you ever looked at some of the holidays that we celebrate and you can't help but think, what does this ritual have to do with the central theme of the day? And I already gave example of three holidays. That's being Easter, Valentine's Day, and Christmas. Easter is supposed to be the resurrection of Jesus. You know, Jesus resurrected, and you are going. The day is about the resurrection of Jesus. Right now, where does the rabbit come in again? It has its own origin. Where does the egg come in? Again, origin. So you look at Valentine's Day and go like, okay, it's a day of love. A day of love. Why are we being distributed sexual desire by a half-naked kid? Oh, that's just me. And Christmas actually is awashed with those questions. And that's what I'm here for. The Time Machine with Helmut on Eagle FM will use history to prove a point. And my point is, some of these things don't make sense. First of all, pictures of Jesus is white. And he was supposedly born in the Middle East. It would make sense if he was born somewhere in London. But if he was born in Bethlehem in the middle of a scorching sun, I have so many questions. So many. Some of which I'm going to ask. Some of which I'll just, I will keep it to myself because, well, I love my salary. Festive wreath is one of those. Whilst the Romans originally created wreaths to be displayed as a symbol of victory, they became connected to our festive, celebration by way of Yule. Yule is the holiday that we just covered, the one that gave birth to, one that contributed a lot, you know, most of its rituals to what? To Christmas. And now, most of us are going, okay, what does this have to do with that? What does this have to do with that? So, that decoration where you take leaves, right, and make like a circular thing out of those leaves, and then you place it at the entrance during Christmas, at your door, at your gate, during celebration. That part, it's not from the Middle East either. It's also from Europe. It's also associated with you. Translation has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus. Just celebrate and just laugh at my cooking of Christmas. So, like the evergreen trees, wreaths created using an evergreen plant such as holly, something I found surprise, would be brought into people's dwelling during Yuletide, the winter solstice celebration celebrated in most parts of Europe for a very long time before Christmas, Christianity swept across Europe, and they basically converted Yuletide into Christmas, and they were like, you know what, moving on. During Yuletide, to remind them of warmer days to come. This was in the middle of winter. So they would make ngata, the round thing type of thing, the round thing with the green leaves, to remind themselves that, you know what, warmer days are coming. Have faith. In Africa, it's always warmer days. Are you kidding me? We do have winter, but theirs have snow. Our winter is their summer. Yeah, boy. So now a festive wreath is a reassurance symbolizing during the long cold winters of the Scandinavian north, not us, and not Middle East. So nothing to do with Jesus. Check. So, I'm loving the history of this whole thing, though. The Vikings themselves would set alight, aka set on fire, to a sun wheel, which strongly resembles our modern wreaths. Now, the burning wheel was then rolled down the hill in the shape of an enticing sun to return. These guys were engulfed in long, dark days. There are times, if you have seen the movie The Midnight Sun, and something known as the Northern Lights, the Aura Northern Lights, something that I really want to visit. I need to get me some Norwegian friends, and also, the problem is, as long as you just behave, you'll be fine. Turns out, Norway is synonymous with chlamydia, the STD chlamydia. That's public knowledge. I'm not making fun of Norwegians. Okay, I am, but I'm not the first one. That's because it turns out, Norwegians are synonymous with having a little too much fun in the bedroom. A little too much fun compared to others. So next time you find yourself, next time you find yourself with a, with that, you know, with that tradition of, what's the, festive wreath, the word starts with a W. Give me, you know, give me a break. So just, understand that, well, even though it has a, it's part of your Christmas celebration, yeah, it has nothing to do with any of that. Actually, you have to thank the Norwegians for that. You have to thank the Norwegians for that. You're welcome. You have to understand that in the northern parts of the planet, the further up north you go, the more you run into some very interesting weather phenomena. Because there's a time in parts of countries like Norway, is, you know, the furthermost mostly uninhabited regions of Europe, there is no sun from approximately 19 April to 23 August. I'm like, huh? And from approximately 18 March to 24 September, they have, you know, what they have, the midnight sun. In other words, you just have to sleep because there is no night. From 18 March to 24 September, no night. From 19 April to 23 August, no sun. No boy. So it means you just have to look at your watch and like, oh, it's 6 o'clock. I have to wake up now. And you, then you come out and it's like, oh, I don't see the sun. And you're like, oh yeah, yeah, well, you still have to go to work. What? But, some of this phenomenon is, they are more extreme in the, in the far north, uninhabited. Parts, you know, uninhabited parts of Europe, especially the Yakutia parts of Russia, and that's also, I think, one of the coldest parts of planet Earth. Really, 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 really cold. The sun doesn't, you know, the midnight sun actually indicates that the sun doesn't actually set. You know that, you know how the sun appears when it's about 6 o'clock here in Windhoek? That would be their midnight. That would be the middle of the night. You're looking at your watch, it's telling you that 12 o'clock midnight, but you can still see the sun. Now, for people like yours truly here, was born and raised on the African continent, whose time of day and night is very clear cut. As in, day, sun, night, dark. Very simple. It turns out, if you find yourself in places like Yakutia in Russia, and Svalbard in Norway, you have to begin to understand that sometimes there is going to be 72 days of you just looking at the sun and not seeing darkness. I think I would struggle to sleep. At least for about a week before, you know, your body will actually adjust to anything. You just have to just give it time. It's gonna adjust. That's why every time, people tell me that, you know, when I go home and I drink water that side, it gives me tummy aches. Ah, yeah, it does. It does. Does that mean you have, your stomach has a problem? No. Does that mean the water has a problem? Most likely no. That's just your body trying to get, to adjust to the chemical makeup of that water. And when it adjusts, well, then you're going to be fine again. I go through that every time that I go home. Like, the first week is not my favorite. But I'm one of those people that are very stubborn. I'm not going to carry water from Windhoek. Are you kidding me? I'm just going to go there and drink it. The first one, I know that I'm going to pay the price for this one. The first 2 days are actually a nightmare. But I just, you know, instead of just walking around with a 20 liter of water, I just, I trust, I give everything in the hands of Mother Nature. It gives me some serious tummy aches, but after 2 days, it's just perfectly fine. But for some reason, when I come here, I don't suffer the same problem. So, Yuletide, and how it inspired some of the rituals that we find ourselves participating in this whole Christmas celebrations. It's very interesting because, I've come to learn that 90% of the rituals that are associated with Christmas celebration or any, secular holidays that we observe has a lot of Western, they're all Western inspired. And, when you look at Christmas, for example, that is supposed to have, Christmas and Easter, that are supposed to have Middle Eastern origin, because that's where you are looking at, if you're going to talk about Jesus Christ, that's where you're looking at. I know that a lot of people, when they talk about Jesus Christ, they have Italy, Rome, and the Vatican City in mind. No. That's Europe. Yeah. The Pope rolls around in a Benz. Give him a donkey. I want to see something. Give homeboy a donkey. Takes, and to this day, donkeys are still a popular form of transport all across the Middle East. How many donkeys are there in the Vatican City? How many donkeys are in Europe? It's the terrain. It's just not for donkeys. Donkeys are for hot terrain. Not this, not snow. And they're hard workers though. Donkeys are hard workers. So why we use them for, plowing. So. Mistletoe, the Middle Eastern, the Vikings gave us that, but we also, we went through that. And 12 days of Christmas, before we were all singing about the turtle doves and the partridge in pear tree and the ancient Norse. The ancient Norse were enjoying their mid-winter festival of Yule for exactly 12 days. Beginning on the day of winter solstice, the longest day and night, and the feasting festivities, aka, the eating part of it. Speaking of which, I have to, Kapana, yes! Oh, it's 26 minutes left, 26 minutes. Oh man, thank you forever. Now that I'm thinking about Kapana, I'm already hungry. No, we have to eat this and that. Look, I don't care what the holiday is. I'm eating Kapana. Like, that was a genius invention. So, the beginning of the day of winter solstice, the longest day and the longest day and night. They celebrated their Yule for 12 days, feasting, enjoying in festivities, and they would carry on for 12 days, creating the origin of the 12 days of Christmas. We celebrate today. I'm looking at this and going like, who's we? We celebrate Christmas for 12 days? Nope. No. 25 December, I show up, you find a bunch of people, beating drums, in the middle of the night with fireworks and blah, 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 and then eat a lot of rice and mayonnaise. And by the way, rice mayonnaise is a staple food for Christmas or standard food for Christmas. I don't know about, I know that, pasta, that's Italian. Rice, that's Asian. So, I think mayonnaise is French. Tomato sauce though, I'm not sure. Mayonnaise also, I'm not sure, but I think it's French though. Christmas ham. Okay, no kidding. It's a dish that featured on most Christmas tables for some point during the festive season, And once again, we have the Norwegians to thank for that. Feasting played a central role in a way that the Viking and other ancient Germanic people honored their gods, not God, plural, their gods. And one such ritual saw sacrificing of a wild boar to the Norse god Freyr in a hope. Norse god Freyr. Okay, now this I think this is the name of the. Just realizing that now. Freyr, the god of... which god is this one? I think this is Odin's wife. Where, the lady that gave us Friday. Freyr, Lord, is a god associated with... no, not a god. It's a Norse god associated with fertility, peace. Look, as someone that likes to read mythology of pretty much everything... From from Norse, Greek, Roman, you name it. White people, y'all had a lot of fertility gods. Like almost every god I read up on, fertility. So everything is about getting laid, it turns out. But the point is, every god that I read up, every god or goddess I read up to, I read up on. Has some degree of fertility to it. Christmas inspired fertility, check. That mistletoe story we covered, fertility. The, what's this, the Celtic druids and how they used, the mistletoe, plant as a fertility, elixir. If you want, that's a diplomatic way of saying pesu. Yeah. Turns out my gender have always needed, like a speed booster. It doesn't matter which race, we just need, like, we are not made for marathon, we are made, we are sprinters, we are cheaters, just, fast, we're done. And then you have, turns out the other gender is like wild dogs. They just run for hours and exhaust their animal to... You are not on stage. Fun fact. Did you know that a praying mantis, whatever animal you want to wish to become, I would never wish to become a praying mantis because the mating ritual in praying mantis is brutal. When homeboy, the man, is in the middle of his activity of having a good time with the love of his life, just before he finishes, the love of his life begins to eat homeboy alive in the middle. That's the worst way to die. I mean, I don't mind dying on top, but I mind dying when I'm being turned into Kapana. I mind a lot. And actually, I think male praying mantis, I don't understand these guys. If someone is eating you alive, shouldn't you be stopping and then running? It turns out, nope. It's like, well, she's eating my head off, but it's worth it. No! Are you kidding me? Turns out if you are praying mantis, that's the baiting ritual. When you are doing her, she's eating off your head. Nope. All I would just do is see her holding a knife and I'm running for my life. No, she doesn't have to hold a knife. She just have to speak Afrikaans starting with Yele or Jane. I'm out of there. And the last one is something that we also don't practice much in, you know, with regards to Christmas celebrations, and that's the Yule log. That one is actually self-explanatory. Yule log, it's a log as in just a log that you set on fire to keep yourself warm. Yule is the holiday that we just pointed out again, that the white people converted into Christmas, rebranded to Christmas, and then handed it over to us. Actually shoved it down our throats, but in Nordic tradition, the Yule log was a carefully selected log that was ceremonially brought into the house and been basically set on fire during the time of Yule. Now, this again, put in mind, is the time that they had long cold nights and very short, again, cold days. So they needed to keep themselves warm. So they needed something to set on fire to keep themselves warm. So we just woke up one day and decided, you know what, we are going to make this part of the... So, mistletoe. Okay, let's wrap this up. Jesus was born in the Middle East. Bethlehem. The place is still there. It's in the Middle East. So, other than that, let's look at the events or the rituals associated with the so-called Jesus with the so-called Jesus' birthday. I'm saying so-called because the rituals are very European. Actually, to be fair, so is the picture, the modern circulated picture of Jesus, also very, 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 very European. Mistletoe, European. Oh, eggnog, European. Christmas tree, European. Jesus' picture, European. I have a feeling if we want to really celebrate Christmas in a very historically accurate way, we may want to start taking advice from the Middle Eastern guys. Because, all I'm saying is, one, enjoy your Christmas. Two, at least now you know where all these things come from. Did I skip something? I feel like I'm skipping something. I swear. I know I skipped the eggnog part of it. Which is the eggnog is an interesting part, which I think has been very revolutionary. Because, well, some people use eggnog, some of us, you know, I like wine. Hot stuff, not much. Because I like my liver.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. It's 22 minutes left to the hour of 10, and
I have my last part of the I have my last part of the Christmas ruining that I prepared for you. If you enjoyed it, thank you very much. I still have just a few. So let's cover the technicalities now. Just at least a part of it. Origin of the word Christmas, according to the British themselves. But last time I checked, they were, they're in Europe. The English term Christmas or Christ Mass or Mass on a Christ Day is a fairly recent origin. The term originated from the Middle English, Christe Masse. You know, when I said earlier that, if you were to go back 500 years in the past, you wouldn't understand your ancestors. Middle English, that's Christmas. For Middle English is Christe Masse. What the? Yuki. Now, that part of, un momento, s'il vous plaît. Middle English, dates somewhere between, because somewhere from the 12th to the 15th century. You are looking at it from the 1100 to the 1400s. That part of English is the one that pronounces Christmas as Christe Masse. Now, just how much of that would you understand? UK. Just saying. So, that Christe Masse, which came from Old English, Christe Masse, even the pronunciation goes straight Germanic. Now, in Roman Catholicism, certain other Christian groups, a mass is a celebration, a celebration of the Eucharist. And everyone that's a Catholic knows that. I was a baptized Catholic when I was four. I mean, I didn't have a choice. I mean, I was four. How many? Now, the earlier term Yule may have derived from the Germanic Jol or the Anglo-Saxon Gol, which referred to a feast of winter solstice. So, the term Christmas itself is a fairly new one. Like, that means if you were to go back to take, for example, about 100 years or 200 years or 500 years after AD 70. Let me just say, go make it 1,000 years. No, that would be way extreme. 500 years after AD 70, and you mention the word Christmas, everyone will be like, okay, what are you talking about? So it's about the evolution. In the very same way that languages evolve into something new over time, by words changing in pronunciation and spelling, and also adopting in new words into that language, which are then incorporated in that language. The same thing happens for holidays, it turns out. And holidays also tend to pick up new rituals with time. If you just pick any holiday and you look at at its origin, and you look at the rituals that are associated with that, the ritual practices that are associated with that holiday, you are going to find that about 70 to 80% of those practices are coming from other holidays. In the same way that all you just have to do is pick one language, and you realize that that language is made up of a bunch of words that are coming from different languages, which if you look at those languages again themselves, are composed of a bunch of words that are coming from a lot of different languages. So the purity of languages and holidays and traditions and cultures is actually... is something that is, it's something that I think it's safe to say is non-existent at this point. So everything is from somewhere. Everything is adopted from somewhere. There's a reason why we have Bantu languages, for example. There's a lot of words in your language and mine, if you are part, if you speak a language that's from a group of language that are called Bantu. Now, these are group of languages that have the word ntu or nu in in the word for a person. You're going to find that these words, these languages share a lot of words in common. They have a lot of words in common. And munu, muntu, vantu, mtu. Huh. All those words means person from different Bantu languages. So, oh, okay. Development of Christmas as a holiday. Oh, that's my favorite part. Because why? Because we're on the the early days. We're in our early days of capitalism, though. Because the one aspect which is actually my favorite. One aspect that actually inflated a lot of these rituals that are associated, or like incorporated and inflated these activities, these rituals into a lot of holidays, from Easter, like Valentine's Day, with your chocolates and flowers and stuff. Oh, wow! Capitalism had a lot to play in also introducing its own rituals to some of these holidays. Christmas, what's one thing that Christmas is associated with that you can attribute to capitalism? Candy. Because I'm looking at Christmas and going like, okay, where does candy or sweets comes in on this? And the same is Halloween, for by the way. Trick or treat, but that one is, I mean, that's a Western, that's a Western holiday. I don't think we celebrate it here. It's more often celebrated in October. Now, the candy industry, I'm sorry, I tried to find another word, but I couldn't find it. They make billions every year on Christmas. They make billions and billions every year on Christmas. And last time I checked, I went through a bunch of literature on the origins of different Christmas rituals, like your Christmas tree and your mistletoe that have gone through already. But I'm looking at where does all this large amount of candy now comes into this? Welcome to capitalism. Someone figured, you know what? Looking at how many people are celebrating this day, if I can invent something that I can sell during this time of the year, I bet I will be making a killing every year this time of the year. So, apart from the Norwegians, you have capitalism to thank for some of the rituals associated with Christmas. And now you have the Christmas outfits, like Father Christmas uniform. You have all this, and also you can also buy figurines, by the way. And you have your Christmas lights. Christmas lights also dates back to these guys. And the funny thing is, Christmas lights, before the invention of bulbs, they were using candles. And you want to know what was the biggest problem with that? Every Christmas, there was a house that caught fire. This year I decided to DIY my own, Christmas tree. I bought a string of, a string of LED bulbs about 1.5 meters long. So just,
you know, I came across a video of one guy that used an LED type of light, you know, multicolor to make his own Christmas tree. So then I was like, oh, using LED lights to make your own Christmas tree. It's okay. Well, I just went on YouTube and like, LED lights, Christmas tree. And then boom, there it was. I'm like, okay, now I was like, okay. All I just have to do is go shopping. Where do I find? Okay, that's where my favorite store comes in. Oh, no, nope, 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 nope. I will have to send them an invoice. Development of Christmas as a holiday. Early Christian community distinguished between the identification of a date of Jesus' birth and the liturgical celebration of the event. The actual observance of the day of Jesus' birth was long in coming. In particular, during the first two centuries of Christianity, there was a strong opposition to recognizing birthdays of Jesus. Numerous church fathers offered sarcastic comments from the pagan custom of celebrating birthdays, when in fact saints and martyrs should be honored in the days of their martyrdom, and their true birthdays from the church's perspective. The very idea of birthday celebration is not very Christian, so we also adopted that part. The fact that we have 25th of December as the birth of the celebrating the birthday of Christ, it's already indicating the non-Christian influence into the the non-Christian influence of the holiday, because the very idea Christians were very keen in celebrating martyrdom, this person died for the faith, and then the day that they died was honored more than the day that they were born. So what they died for was is more important in Christianity than it's safe to say that it's still more important in Christianity today than the day that someone was born. So you died for the faith. So you were honored for what you died for. You were born and you had a bunch of diapers and you were just messing stuff, and no one is going to honor that. So goodbye. So, you want to know who to thank for Christmas? Especially if you like all the Christmas activities. Newsflash, not Christians, even though they take all the credit. Nope. Norwegians. Especially those Tura boys that call themselves Vikings. Just Tura boys. Christians honored more. Christians honored more. The death of an individual than their birth. Because birthday has its origin out of the pagan world. It's actually very beautiful how just one day has this much history. It's fascinating how most of it came out of, was given to us by a bunch of guys that, lived by actually stealing and pillaging. Ouch. Well, we have to congratulate a bunch of thieves for this wonderful day. Did I say Merry Christmas, everyone? Oh, Merry Christmas, blah, blah, blah. Have a good one. Now, I only have 8 minutes left. So, the precise origin of assigning December 25 as the birth of Jesus is unclear. The New Testament provides no clue in this regard, according to the British Encyclopedia. In this regard, December 25 was first identified as the date of Jesus' birth by Sextus Julius Africanus. That's the part that made me laugh the whole night. Yeah. Because I was like, Africanus? Huh. Interesting. Now, sorry, Sixtus Julius Africanus. You see, it turns out in around 180 AD, you know, adding us to your name had a certain je ne sais quoi. Now, Sixtus Julius Africanus, was the first historian known to produce a universal chronology, as in, this whole, time-based history time of thing, basically a very simple way of thinking of it. Now, Sixtus Julius Africanus, who lived somewhere in, about 180 AD, somewhere around 180 AD, Sixtus Julius Africanus in 221, is the one that, sort of like, the hand picking, if it were, of 25 December as a day that should be celebrated as, you know, in relation to the birth of Jesus, dates back to that guy. 180 AD. Around, 221 AD. This was, how long was this after, the destruction of the Temple of Jerusalem? Because the Temple of Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. 221 minus, 70. This would be 151 years before. So, after the destruction of Jerusalem. Make it 34. This was about, almost 200 years after the, almost 200 years after, after the death of Christ according to, according to Christian accounts. Okay. Well, one thing is to be fair, we really are a secular community. Because all these pagan contributions to Christianity, which gave birth to the holiday of, Christmas, indicates just how secular the world is. The world is more secular than it thinks. That's because people don't like history. But don't worry, there are those of us that like history. We'll always dig this thing from 221 and bring it here. But anyway, December 25 was first identified as a date of Jesus' birth by Sixtus Julius Africanus in 221 AD, about 200 years after Jesus had already died and gone to heaven. Again, Christian account. Now, and later became the universally accepted date. One widespread explanation of the origin of the date is that December 25 was Christianizing, forcing people to adopt Christianity, of the De Solis Invictus Nati, day of the birth of the unconquered sun, S-U-N, sun. In a lot of cultures across the planet, the sun, understandably, has been worshipped, the sun in the sky has been worshipped and, the giver of life. Because not only does it bring light, if you look at it, for a very significant part of human history before the Industrial Revolution, which just came about in the 1700s, we were agrarian based because in agriculture, the sun is very important. So, now, for me, I totally understand why the sun is considered a deity, is worshipped across a lot of cultures. Because if you live in an agrarian society, you are going to need the sun to, for your crops to grow. Also for you to see where you are going when you are doing the hunting. For you to farm, you need the sun. A holiday in a Roman Empire, that holiday with a very long name, the day of the birth of the unconquered sun, S-U-N. A holiday in the Roman Empire that celebrated the winter solstice. Again, we are back to winter solstice, winter solstice as in Yule that we just covered already, that was handed down to us by the Norwegians. You have to understand the Norwegians are running around shortly after the fall of the Roman Empire. Right? Yeah. Jeez. Okay. It makes a lot of sense. So, it's not surprising then to, it's very easy to assume then, the Roman Empire with this holiday of the unconquered sun, inspired the Yule, that the Europeans, the Norwegians popularized, the Vikings popularized, which then when Christianity, swept across that part of the world, Christmas adopted, a lot of these, Yule-based celebratory rituals were adopted into Christmas, and voila, you have an eggnog, you have a Christmas tree, you have a Santa Claus, you have a mistletoe, you have all these rituals that are associated with Christmas. It's a melting pot of a lot of rituals, religion, in terms of origin, with religion, culture, tradition, and the most modern tradition to be ever adopted to Christianity would be to Christmas would be capitalism. Now that holiday that was celebrated by the Romans. That most likely inspired the Yule, and also then, inspired, Christmas that we celebrate today was celebrated as a winter solstice, as a symbol of the resurgence or the coming back again of the sun and casting away the winter and the heralding of the rebirth of spring and the sun. When the sun comes out, what happens? You have a new, spring coming up. Like, you have, plants literally springing up and growing up and blooming and all that. So, they celebrated that. And Merry Christmas. And that brings us to the end of today's The Time Machine. Tomorrow is Family Day, so we talk about family, nuclear and extended. You all have a good one. Festive season, a lot of activities. A lot of consequences of those activities. Think before you act. You all have a good one. Merry Christmas, everyone. Enjoy your holiday. Or more like, enjoy your holidays. Because we are looking at rituals that are coming from a lot of different holidays. But still, I'm not buying the whole, white Jesus picture. He would have needed, homeboy, you are telling me homeboy lived with that skin and that hair in the Middle East, literally, about 1,000 years before the invention of sunscreen. I'm not falling for that. Until tomorrow.